Turn around and welcome someone this morning. It's good to see you. Woo! Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We want to look at laying hold of the Spirit. Now, it's our custom as an assembly that in the month of June, we prepare our hearts for believers' meetings. Amen? And that's totally scriptural. Before you read 1 Corinthians 2, you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with me. 1 Corinthians 14. If you've been in the assembly for a while, you'll notice the months of June, July, and August are dedicated for spirituals. So we start the year with spirituals. By middle of the year, we're back to spirituals. And we round up the year with spirituals. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because it's so important for us to hear what God is saying and to flow with the Spirit of God that has been given to us as our eternal comfort. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I read from verse 23. It says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad?" So we're looking at laying hold of the Spirit. And we're going to do trust God as we look at the text of Scripture to have a proper understanding. Now, when it comes to yielding to the things of the Spirit, a lot of us still think it's hocus pocus, you know, something spooky, something that is in a particular realm, or something that you have to attain a level of maturity to be able to function in. But notice the church at Corinth was a peculiar church, because when you look at the letters of the Apostle Paul, you're looking at his response to questions and situations taking place in the churches, particularly church at Corinth. Okay? So, and this is the same church that Paul started addressing in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. We'll come back here shortly, because I want to give us a background so that you know where you are and where you stand spiritually. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1. Look at what it says. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, pay attention to the figure of speech. The one that phrase "as unto" is a figure of speech. You cannot refer to a believer as carnal. A believer is spiritual. All right? In chapter 2, he already called everybody who has been baptized into Christ spiritual. That means pertaining or of the Spirit. Say, "I'm of the Spirit." Say, "I have the Spirit, therefore I'm of the Spirit." So the Spirit that you have is your new identity. You are alive in Christ. That's what it means. But he's about to address conduct. So there's a difference between who you are and sometimes your conduct. And sometimes your conduct doesn't match up with who you are. Now, I'm not even talking about conduct in the negative side. Now, I'm talking about conduct with respect to being slow to express the things of the Spirit. I hope you're with me this morning. So he's talking about conduct. And he says, "And I, brethren." So they are brethren. We come from the same spiritual womb. It will make you drink of the same spiritual drink. We drank into the Spirit. We belong to the same body. So the same abilities of the Spirit reside in us, every one of us. So Paul is saying, "And I, brethren, my family members, by the Spirit, I couldn't address you the way you really are because of your conduct. There's something wrong with your mindset. Nothing is wrong with your spirit. You are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. So you are God's perfection in expression. I don't have a problem with that. But I have an issue with the way you conduct yourself. So I could not speak unto you at the level of your identity in the light of what Christ has done. But I'm having to speak unto you as a lower level, as though you don't have the Spirit, though you have the Spirit. So I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but I speak," see what he says now. He says, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So he uses two phrases, carnal, what, and babes. There is no babe in Christ. There are spiritual babies with respect to the level of development in your mind, hallelujah, which is how much your mind is walking the reality of who you are in Christ. We will call you mature or a babe, but you cannot be a babe because you are a man in Christ. Say, "I'm a man in Christ." That doesn't mean you can't be a woman in Christ, amen. Man is just a general gender, amen. That just reflects. So both men and women, they are all men in Christ, hallelujah. I hope you understand that now. So what is he saying? He's saying, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," or someone who pertains to the Spirit, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes." So as unto means you are not babes, you are not carnal, but I'm speaking as though you are that way, or I've had to lower my mode of communication. That is the church Paul is addressing. And yet in that same church, Let's look at some things they practiced, some things they walked in, so that you can now tell where you are. So go back to 1 Corinthians 14 now. That same church. So, are they carnal? No. Are they as unto carnal? Yes. Are they babes? No. Are they as unto babes? Yes. Can you see that? So in their conduct, they are acting contrary to what? Their nature. They've not been able to grow up to ascertain or to admit or to acknowledge certain realities. If I look at verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto, that is until now, you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you what? Able. Look at verse 3. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and what? Strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as what? Men. So men they will refer to, are you not walking like those who don't have the Spirit? Are you not believing like the unbeliever? Are you not acting contrary to the Spirit of God that abides within you? Now, chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. I'm just giving you a background so that when we are reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it wasn't a church of perfect people with respect to conduct. It was a church of people who were growing up spiritually, and yet in their spiritual growth, there were some things that they had, which they acknowledged, which they enjoyed, and which they walked in. So when you read 1 Corinthians, what you're able to ascertain is you're able to find your place. Where am I on the spiritual scale? How much do I weigh spiritually? Where can I put myself? Am I as unto carnal, as unto babe, or as unto spiritual, which is mature? You can actually examine yourself and give yourself a mark and place yourself in a particular setting. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Look at the previous verse. Let's go from verse 8. Look at verse 8. Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So these people were defrauding. Does that sound familiar to you? Okay. Amen. We don't have them in this church in Jesus' name. Brethren who defraud brethren. You know those who borrow and never pay back? Always say that, I will give you this evening. You will see the alert tonight. You will not see the alert in next year. That's if you ever see. It says you are defrauding one another. That's you are robbing one another, and yet you are. Now, those are brethren, and they are not yet recognizing the oneness in the body. Whatever I do to you, I do to myself. They've not recognized it. And they are brethren. Look at what it says. Look at next verse. Knowing not that the unrighteous, those you are behaving like, you are not like, you are not them, but you are behaving like them. Don't you know the unrighteous are not in the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Who is effeminate? Who knows what that word means? Hallelujah. Some people are laughing, some people are smiling. So that means some people know, some people don't know. So, NIV, please. At least, this is Old King James now. So, NIV, that verse in NIV. Do not be deceived, neither is sexually immoral. No, is that NIV? Okay, so, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adorators, nor male prostitutes. Okay, sir. So, no homosexual offenders. Okay, so, you now know what effeminate means now. I think Amplified paints a more gory picture, and the message is worse, but let's just leave that one now. Let's come back to King James. So, King James, please, quickly. All right, so, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with what? Mankind. They cause homosexuality abuse. Look at next verse. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Now, notice the terminologies. This is where people get lost. None of these people shall inherit. The people he's talking to have already inherited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's using their example to warn the church, but the church has already what? Inherited. So he's not talking to the church that if you do this thing, you will not inherit. No. He's giving the word as an example and saying, because the church has already what? Say, I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God is my inheritance in Christ Jesus. See, I have the Spirit, so I'm not among those people in that list. Okay, so I want you to understand, before people scare you, you have already what? Inherited. See, these people, in their state, they cannot and they will not what? Inherit in that state, in that condition. And this is what, so look at what it says again. Look at next verse. It says, and such were some of you. You were that way in the world when you were that way. Look at what he said. But you are washed. I mean you are set apart. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and what? By the Spirit of our God. Now, pay attention to the grammar. There's what you call grammar when you're studying scriptures. When it says you're sanctified or you're washed, they mean the same thing. It's a different adjective referring to the same thing. So, how were you washed? You were justified. What does it mean to be justified? I mean you were sanctified. That is, you were set apart. How are you set apart? In the name or in the light of what Christ has done? I mean by the giving you his spirit. So what's the name of Jesus in this verse? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can we read that again? Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Such were some of you. So that's in the past. You're no longer addressed this way. Now, let me say this. When it says such were some of you, are you saying we don't have people in the church practice homosexuality? We do. But they are not homosexuals by nature. They may be in practice. Do we have people in the church who steal? Yes. Are they thieves by nature? No. They are doing what they ought not to do because their minds are not really. I mean, do you understand that now? So he's talking about nature, not conduct. There's a difference between nature and what? Conduct. And I bark like a dog doesn't make me a dog. I have to have dog DNA to be a dog. Hallelujah. So that you make a sound like a parrot. Does that make you a parrot? No. There's a difference. It's borrowed conduct. Throw it away. Stop owing. And stop borrowing what is not yours. So he's talking about comparison. That what separates them from you is one thing. The name of Jesus, which is the Spirit of our God. What do they have? Or what do you have that they don't have? They don't have the name of Jesus, which is your justification, your sanctification, the washing, which is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the Spirit is now your identity. It's not saying some of you don't misbehave. That's not what he's saying. He's saying your identity now is the Spirit that God has what? Given you. Now, if you're going to grow in the light of your identity, which is what? Your Spirit. That Spirit. Hallelujah. Are we together now? So go to 1 Corinthians for now. Say, the name of Jesus is the Spirit of our God. I've been sanctified. I've been washed. I've been justified. By that name, that's God's Spirit. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So that's the background. So when you hear him saying chapter 14, it's a long journey. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all the way to chapter 14. So there were things he said before he arrived at chapter 14. And those things are important. So that the church is addressing, we're not perfect in conduct. That's important. And yet they had the Spirit. Why am I saying that? A lot of times, why is it proper and necessary for you to walk uprightly and to stay away from sin habitually? Is because of the state of your heart. It's because of the state of your heart. One of the things sin does is that it makes you forget your identity, no matter how temporal. You forget that you are blood bought, you are blood washed. You forget that you have the Spirit. And so because of the activities you've engaged in, which has affected your mind and your thinking, your mind is unable to submit to the dictates of the Spirit. That's what happens. So there has to be a renewing of your mind before you can yield, because the Spirit doesn't depart because you misbehave. Because the Spirit is not in you because of your work, it's because of the work of God. And the work of God never fails. See, God's work never fails. God's work is perfect. The Spirit that I have is as a result of what God has done in Christ Jesus. That work can never fail, so the Spirit can never fail. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you understand that so far? So the Spirit that you have been given, you were given because of the perfection God wrought in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit is with you always. That's why the Bible says, I will never leave you, no one, forsake. So that you may boldly. So even in your weakness, you are saying, help over the addiction is with me. Help over the difficulty is with me. Help over the habit is with me. Why? It will never leave you, no one, forsake you. Because it wasn't because you dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's that it came to live inside you. It came to live in you because of what God did in Christ Jesus. Say amen. I think somebody should say praise God for that. Hallelujah. I'm actually glad that God is not inconsistent. I'm the Lord God. I change not. That's a scripture that should make, give you his shouting ground. Though. Hey! Imagine God changed that. You did not pray for the last 3 days. And just walks you and God gives you a knock. God should not even knock you. God should not try to knock you. It should not be good. Amen. Why? I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. He's telling you, if I change, if I fluctuate, you are gone. You are gone. That means if my faithfulness is based on your faithfulness, I can't be your God. Mercy will have left you since. You'll have been looking for it on the street. Amen. Oh, glory to God. All right, so 1 Corinthians 14 now. Are you ready? Verse 23. If therefore the old church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues. Notice, every single member called the church, they come together in one place. The kind of meetings we are having, this is where we assemble to worship. Then in this assembling, there are different kinds of meeting we assemble together to have. We have prayer meetings where we're praying to God and making petitions and supplications. We have worship meetings. We have teaching meetings. Then we have evangelistic or outreach meetings. Then we have believers meetings. We have Holy Ghost meetings. So we have different meetings serving different purposes. Now, he's about to talk to us about a particular kind of meeting that the church should have, or a culture of the church. It says, if the old church be come together into one place, that means they came together in one accord with one thing in mind. And all of you speak with tongues. And I always pause there. So every member of the church is identified by the fact that the ability to speak is in them. That's the first thing. If the old church be come together into one place, and all, not some, all speak with tongues. So you cannot separate yourself from the reality of the fact that to be a member of the church, you must have drunk into the same spirit. So the spirit you have identifies you with the garden of believers, and that spirit gives you the same enablement you see in other believers. So there's no such thing as a believer who cannot speak by the spirit. But we have believers who will not speak by the spirit. Hallelujah. You understand the difference? There is no such thing as a believer who cannot speak by the Spirit, but we are believers who will not speak by the Spirit. So if the whole church become together, and all of you, say all of us, we speak with tongues. Say we speak with tongues. All of us speak with tongues. So there is no believer that cannot speak. There are believers who may not speak due to ignorance, but all believers can speak. And look at what Paul says again. See what it says. He says, and not speak with tongues, and they are coming those that are what? Unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that you are mad? So can a believer see you speaking, not understanding what you are saying, not touching the things of the Spirit, and conclude something is wrong with you? The question is that believer right or wrong? Is that believer right or wrong? That believer is wrong. Are you right or wrong? You are right. So if you speak in tongues, you are doing what the church should do when the church comes together. If that believer queries your speaking, that believer is ignorant or unlearned. And then, very sadly, Paul puts the unbeliever and the ignorant believer in the same category with respect to that kind of meeting, generally. He says, those who are ignorant, unlearned, and unbelievers, they seem to be in the same seat. Because the two of them have one thing in common, they are ignorant. So if you conclude that somebody ministering by the Spirit is not okay, you are not okay. What should you do? Do your best to be okay. By acting in line with God's word, do your best to be okay. Let's see what it says again. Look at what it says again. It says, then there are coming those who are not the unbelievers. Will they not say they are your man? But look at verse 24. But if all, oh glory to God. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let word of God be true. But if all prophesy. Ask your neighbor, are you among the all that you prophesy? Let's start with the first question. Are you among the all that you speak with tongues? Let's take a step back. Do you have God's spirit? Have you been saved? Are you redeemed? Are you born again? Do you have God's spirit? Do you speak with tongues? Can you prophesy? Hallelujah. Notice, if the old church will come together. Have we come together this morning? Yes, we have. Now, it's interesting. When we're having believers' meetings, it's the same set of people. Have you noticed? That minister. So, tell your neighbor, this year, this month, is your turn. You will not be left out. You must speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have committed you. You must speak. You must. Somebody says why? Because there are certain things about your identity and God's ability, you will never comprehend until you step out. You will never comprehend. There's a time to stop being afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the what? Of power, of love, and what? A sound mind. So the epistles give us a doctrinal foundation concerning how every single believer is meant to function in supernatural utterance, as in every single believer, without fail. And that's why the testimony we first have before we get to the epistles, before they were ever written, was of 120 people, all speaking tongues, all interpreting, by extension, all prophesying, everyone. And there was no previous teaching except the revelation of scriptures given to them by Jesus. That's why I look at that scripture and tell myself, I don't have an excuse. Will you free drive from time to time? Oh, yes. What does having the spirit have to do with your feeling? Do you feel the spirit? And now you feel? You don't feel? The spirit is in you. Do you feel saved? Oh, there are many things you will not do in life if salvation were by feeling. Hallelujah. How many of you felt something when you gave your life to Christ? I said that deliberately. Some of you gave your life to Christ. Some of us, Christ gave us his life. Some of you gave your life to Christ, you collected it back a week after. Some of us, that he gave us his life, he didn't collect back. You know, some of those, none of those phrases can be very funny, because you didn't give your life to Christ. You didn't have any life to give. You were dead in sin. He gave you his life. Now, how many of us felt fantastic? I did. I felt like a load left my shoulders. After that day, it lasted only 1 week. Until the next mistake I made in that sense. So it's not by feeling, it's by revelation knowledge. Let's continue. And let me start from here, then we'll look at the theological basis for our gathering. Are you there? Verse 24. But if all prophesy, and they're coming one that what? Believeth not. Say, that's not me. Say, I'm a believer. I'm learned. So notice, if there coming one who is an unbeliever and one who is not taught, he is convicted of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of what is heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Verse 26. Let's read together. I want to go. When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, as a revelation, as an interpretation, let all things be done unto. What are the all things? The psalm, the tongue, the doctrine, the revelation, the interpretation. Arrange it in a way it will edify. What does that mean? I can arrange in a way to not edify. So I have a psalm, I have a tongue, I have a doctrine that's a teaching. Okay, I have an interpretation, I have revelation. I can minister in a way it will not build anybody up. So, he is not asking if you have. He is telling you you have. When you are ministering it, let edification be the focus. In other words, that you want to use it to bless someone is the reason why you are ministering, not because you want to show off. Glory to God. So, do you have a psalm? Your answer should be yes. Do you have a tongue? Your answer should be yes. Do you have a revelation? Your answer should be what? Somebody says, but Pastor, I don't think I have. Your thinking is not good. The word of God is true. The Bible says, when we come together, every one of you has. Now, if we go line by line now, we won't leave this place until 3 p.m. But if I stand before you, you will realize that you have. Somebody says, oh, I will give you the mic. Something must come out. And it will not be EPPIIO. If that comes out, we'll remove the mic from your mouth and tell you, sister, do tongues, do tongues, do tongues, do tongues. We'll give it to you again. Start again. Why? You can start and stop and continue. Someone says, well, what are you doing? You are exercising yourself. Can you do that? Yes, it belongs to you. Who does the speaking? You. Who gives inspiration? The Spirit. What are you doing? Strengthening your mind with the reality of the truth. Say, I can do psalms. I can do hymns. I can do tongues. I can do interpretation. I can prophesy at will. Glory to God. That's important. So, this is the background every single member of the local assembly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. From verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, I want to come close now. When I came unto you, came not with what? Somebody there. See, microphone already coming here. If he's coming here, you're quiet and you're between tongues. You don't know whether he's looking at me. Somewhere I'm looking at you, just looking. The more reason why I will come to you. And I, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony of God. Now, the word testimony implies something that God has done. Now, when Paul was writing, the only testimony Paul could declare was found in the Holy Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. So Paul would take Joel and teach. Paul would take Isaiah and teach. Paul would take Jeremiah and communicate. He would take Ezekiel and explain it. What was he explaining? What the Corinthians were experiencing. He will explain to them. Why was he explaining? So they could better yield those things much more. Why? Knowledge as a base helps you function better and more accurately in the things of the Spirit. See, the things of the Spirit are not spooky. They can be explained. They can be understood because they can be taught. That's important. When I came unto you, I came to declare the testimony of God. So I came to declare to you what God has done. Notice it is what God has done in Christ Jesus. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but what? In demonstration of the Spirit, that is of power, so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? In the power of God. What is the power of God? The testimony I came to declare to you. So the power is in that testimony. What's that testimony? The gospel, which is the power of God unto what? Salvation. So who is he addressing? Those who are already saved. That you are saved does not mean you know what it means. Not necessarily. So Paul is bringing Old Testament prophecies to explain the reality of what the church at Corinth already have. That's what he's doing. Why? That's a foundation for spirituals. If I can convince you that inside of you is a fountain of edification, it's not my telling you that puts it there. My telling you makes you aware it's there. Do you understand the difference? So my telling you doesn't put it there. Believing in Christ Jesus placed it there on the inside of you. But it's there doesn't mean you will express it or experience it. So the teaching of God's word is to stir up spiritual realities on your inside until your mind can agree and begin to express it. So Paul says, my speech and my preaching are not with enticing, that's the word, persuasive words of man's wisdom, but they are in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God, or in what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. Now, because of time, jump with me all the way to verse 9. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, no one ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things, say things. That's what deeds, actions, the deeds, the things God has accomplished. Notice the things God has prepared for them that love him. The word love there actually means those who believe him. So eyes have not seen nor ear heard. It has not entered into the heart of man the things God has planned from the foundation of the world that are meant to be enjoyed and experienced by those who believe him. Look at the next verse. This is taken from Isaiah 64. And look at what it says here. It says, but God has what? Revealed them to us by his Spirit. Say, I have the God's Spirit abiding in me. It says, for the Spirit searches all things. Yea, what? The deep things of God. The word search actually means unveils all things. He unveils what? The deep things of God. He's not going on a journey to search. The Spirit of God knows the things of God. He's about to say that. Now look at the next verse. It says, for one man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, in like manner, the things of God knows no man, but what? The Spirit of God. Next verse now. Oh, this is shouting ground now. Now we have received. Does the Spirit of God know the things of God? Do you have the Spirit of God? Have you received the Spirit of God? Have you welcomed the Spirit of God? Are you born again? Are you saved? Now we have received. Say now. Now, beautifully, every time you read that verse, it will always be now. It will always be now. In other words, an intelligent believer who feels dry can sit down with verse 12 and say to yourself, now I've received. It's my now reality. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is what? Of God. So that I may know the things, the abilities which are freely given. I may know the liberties I now have in Christ Jesus. Which things also I will discover as I speak. Not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, as I compare what? Spiritual realities with spiritual realities. I have the Spirit. I'm born of God. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm called by his name. He lives in me. He's at work through me. What am I doing? Now we have received. And if you stay with it long enough, it won't be long before you burst out in utterance. Why? You're steering your mind to align with the Spirit of God within you. That's what you're doing. So, will you have seasons where you feel dry? Yes. But you've also had seasons where you felt edified. Yes or no? And when you did, look at what came out of you. That showed you there's nothing ordinary about you except what we see on the outside. Everything about you is supernatural. You have God, little children. And you have overcome them. For greater, 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 greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We eat challenges for breakfast. We trample over difficulties, having the last laugh. We know we'll have the last say because our rejoicing will last. Glory to God. We're more than conquerors. Through him that has loved us. And he that loved us is alive. So our conquering ability is alive. Glory to God. What are you doing? Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world where there's defeat and confusion. Because the seasons we're in, you see, God is systematic. We've been building season gradually. We just finished seasons of prayer. We're going into utterance and look at what is happening around us. Don't you get it? Can't you see what's happening around you? Everything is struggling to gain control of your tongue. God also is doing the same thing. You can find yourself saying, ah, they finally finished us. Who is us? How can you be finished when your helper needs no helper? Can't you see conversations all around you, how negative they are? How are we going to survive? How do you survive all this while? If you were alive during, what's the name of that operation now? That's even worse. The first one, SAP, structural adjustment. It was also pocket adjustment. If you're alive in those days of SAP, you survived. You survived Abacha. You are doing well. You are doing well. You survived that man. That was another Idi Amin. You survived him, you are alive. Nothing is going to happen now. I cannot survive. You are made of tougher material. Hallelujah. So why are you letting that? See, prophecies came before that news came. The news came, and you allowed it to replace prophecy upon your lips. Can't you see the enemy's deception? What it does? You can't stop God's power except you stop believer from communicating and from expressing it. You can't. That's the only way you can stop it from working in the believer's life. And it will still work for other believers who have refused to take any other news upon their lips except what God has said. Hallelujah. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not according to the economy of Nigeria. There's another economy. Glory to God. That's what you're meant to say. So don't think it's coincidental that there's pressure on the outside. Because you just discovered that you're having conversations where negativity is the order of the day. How much is your transport now? It used to be 300, it's now 900. You survived January and February. How did you survive? You didn't even have money, but you are here. You are made of stronger material. You are built to last. You are built to last. If you abide in the word, you are built to last. You are built to last. There is no greater time to experience God's supernatural provision than a time when there seems to be scarcity and difficulty, as long as you don't partake of the stream of lack with your mouth. Hallelujah. Now we have received not the speeches of the world, but the speeches of God. That will mean what? The things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. So every believer has that ability to what? To speak. Every believer. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you coming along? Okay. Chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. The grace which is given, supplied by Christ Jesus. What is that grace? See what it says next verse. That in everything you are made wealthy by him. That's what enriched. You are made wealthy by him. It's like somebody bequeathing his wealth to you. He has made you wealthy with all utterance and all knowledge. So he has endowed you with everything you will need to say, and those things pertain to life and to godliness. So when you came into him, he supplied you enough grace, and that grace finds expression in everything you ought to say per day, per hour. He supplied everything. He made you wealthy with his wealth. That's what enriched. So he made you wealthy, and God's wealth in this instance is measured by utterance and what? All knowledge. So everything you need to know and to do part time, he has graced you. He has enabled you. He has made you wealthy with it. Say, have all utterance. Have all knowledge. There will never come a time when I won't have what to say, because the spirit on my inside is a fountain of utterance. So see what it says, in everything you are made wealthy by him. In all utterance, no knowledge. You look at the next verse. It says, even as what Christ has done, that's what testimony, was confirmed in you. That means you have believed the gospel. You have believed the gospel. What Christ has done was confirmed. What did he do? He paid for your sins. He died on the cross. He rose on the third day. And you confess him as Lord, and that you see forgiveness of sins. What he has done and has given you spirit has been confirmed where? In you. Look at the next verse. It says, so that you come behind in no charisma. There is no faculty that you require that you don't have. Say, I have all the faculties of the spirit. I need to function upon the hand. I come behind in no gift. Glory to God. So have utterance. I have tongues. I have interpretation. I can prophesy. Hallelujah. It doesn't belong to some. It belongs to all. If you're a member of that all, then you can do what all can do. That's what it means. So again, let God be true and every contrary opinion a lie. So when we're looking at the testimony of scriptures, now beyond what you may have accepted, because again, we sometimes, in the absence of revelation of God's word, depend so much on feelings, and because we do, we find ourselves at loggerheads with the truth of God's word. So we have seen 1 Corinthians 14. When you come together, every one of you has. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4. You have been made wealthy with all what? Utterance. And what? All knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now you have received. Say, I have received. So every form of speaking that is possible to express, I already have it by the Spirit of God. Say, I have God's Spirit. And it's not dreams. The Spirit of God within you is not stronger than the one inside, sister, whatever you mean. It's not stronger. Same Spirit, same life, same salvation, same Savior, same baptism, same wealth. Available to all. Same. Same, same. No difference. The one that was in Peter is mightily at work in me also. Same Spirit. God doesn't, so to speak, do inequality. Same. By the same measure that we have received. Same, same. Glory to God. So you come behind in no gift. That's what it says. So Acts chapter 2 now, which we've been traveling to since. But when you read Acts chapter 2 and you don't have a good theological background, you will think what happened suddenly. How can you say something happened suddenly when people have been taught about what's about to happen for 40 days? Does that sound like sudden to you? No. Someone has been teaching about a particular reality for 40 days. Then when he left, he gave you 7 days to tarry. What were you tarrying to do? You were realizing, thinking, meditating, and praying out the things you were taught. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? You stepped out to act on everything that he has taught you. There's nothing sudden about that. What was sudden was your yielding. The manifestation itself was not sudden. It was premeditated. It was planned. It was based on knowledge. Hallelujah. So if I ask you this morning, can you prophesy? Let's look at the template for how they did theirs. If we can see the pattern of how they prophesied, we can see the template that God has set for every single believer to prophesy. So again, depending on where you're coming from, how many of us have white garment background? You in white garment? It's a brother of mine. How many of us we have white garment background? And once in white garment, we have plenty in this church. Reason very well. Wow. Wonderful. How many of you prophesied before in that place? I did not, thank God. Hallelujah. All right. Acts chapter 2. I know I'm saying that. I'll come back to that. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So that means in agreement. They were in one place. Look at next verse. Does that sound like 1 Corinthians 14? They were all together with what? In one place. See what it says? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as what? Of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were. Interestingly, the writer, Luke, tells us they were what? Sitting. Are we sitting this morning? Are we sitting this morning? All right, so can we express things of the Spirit while sitting? Yes, we can. We can. I can call upon anybody and say, prophesy, we need direction for this meeting. What will happen? You will prophesy. What will we hear when you prophesy? Direction. Because that's what we desire. Hallelujah. So an assembly can intelligently yield to the Spirit and get facts and information concerning what to do in a meeting. We've had meetings when, as the meeting was going to, because at the end, I think likely to be 1st of July, which is a Saturday, we're going to have a 6-hour flowing with the Spirit session. 6 hours. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you've not experienced it before, it's time. And one of these will do 12 hours. Your life won't be the same. And you're working on doing prophesying. Because you'll have prophesied so much. Somebody say, why? Because it's practice. It's practice that gets you to that space where it's so easy. So because it's so easy. It's so easy. It's not difficult. You just need training concerning how to yield. Why? The most difficult part God has done, he gave you his Spirit. If you don't have Spirit, you cannot prophesy. Well, you can. If you have other Spirit. You know what I mean? Other, so, but if God did the work, he did the work. What was the work? He gave you Spirit. That's the work of God. So Spirit in you is the work of God. Then from the work of God, you are meant to walk. What is that work? You express what God has what? Given. So your part is the easy part. The difficult part is giving you Spirit. Say, God has done the difficult part. I have the easy part. I'm to yield. When I open my mouth, the Spirit will give me utterance. So how will we know he has given you utterance? We can't know until you open your mouth. The only revelation we have that God has given you utterance is what he has said is one. We know God can't lie. Why are you not prophesying? We know you may not. Either because you are ignorant. But it won't be because God has not given you utterance. If you say God has not, we know you are lying on the authority of God's word. Because God, let God be true. And what? Every man, now, not every man, you know, contextually, every contrary opinion, what? A lie. So what is he saying? Look at the early church. Again, 120. It's always a marvel to read that passage of scripture. It leaves you and I with no excuse. The first time. They didn't even have an example. Except what Jesus taught them. So you can't say that I don't know how. Everybody around you is doing the same thing. And the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as well, and he filled all the house where they were sitting. Next verse, it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4 is where we're going. And they were all filled, what? The Holy Ghost, and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them. Okay, so they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The word filled there means they came under the influence of the Spirit. And that influence can be described as they were all speaking with tongues. So where did the influence come from? The Spirit. How was the influence expressed? Tongues. So they were all filled, which is they all spoke. So all that spoke were all influenced. That's what filled means. To be filled means they were all influenced and they all spoke. Hallelujah. Why? They were one body. They were together with one accord. So nobody could say, I cannot speak, because all of them had the same Spirit. So all of them chose to express the Spirit. Now, in that situation, some may be faster than some what? Others. Hallelujah. But they all spoke. Every single one of them, they spoke. Then look at the next thing that happened. Spirit gave them, look at the next thing that happened. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. Notice, who were dwelling there? Jews. Devout men out of what? Every nation under heaven. And this is one part that people usually miss. They were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. Dwelling there means they came down for the feast. But they were all Jews. If you're a Jew, the one thing you don't forget is your mother tongue. Are you with me this morning? Because the way it was translated, we're giving the impression that when they were speaking tongues, they were speaking different languages. Not so. Not so. the people that dwelt there were Jews. Say they were Jews. That's very important. They were Jews means they understood the Jewish tongue. Where did the church begin? They spoke with tongues. That's how they began. And Luke says they were filled, or they were influenced by the Spirit they spoke. Now, who was dwelling? Jews, devout men. But where did they come from? Out of every nation. So the Jews were used to sojourn in different nations. But they will always come back to Jerusalem for what? The Feast of Pentecost. Are we together this morning? Good. So, because the next thing I was going to say will make more sense. Look at the next thing. It says, now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together. So they were in different places. They now came together and were confounded. Why would they come together? Where were they at this time? They were in Solomon's porch, a section of the temple. Where did they find the Jews? They were also in the temple, in different sections of the temple. So, but they left where they were and came to where this 120 sat. I hope you understand it. So there was something going on. They heard the sound, so they quickly came. What's happening? They were Jews. They were familiar with spiritual operations. To prophesy was something that was part of the heritage of the Jews because of their dealings with God. Hallelujah. Now, see what happened next. See what it says. They were coming because every man had them speak in his own what? Language. And that's where confusion usually says, okay, they heard our, but they were Jews. Everybody had a tongue. Look at the next thing. And the world amazed and marvel saying, one to another, behold, are not all these which speak one Galileans? And how every man in their own tongue when we were born? Parthians, Mesopotamians, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, but strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues what? The wonderful works of God. What did we see in verse 4? They were all filled and began to speak what? Other tongues. As the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. By this verse, what they were doing? They were speaking the wonderful works of God. So let me ask a question. Did the people understand what they were saying? Yes. What did they understand? The tongues or the interpretation of the tongues? Interpretation must have come in. How do we know interpretation must have come in? Go all the way to verse 12. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, one to another, what meaneth this? Other smoking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter stand up with 11 little ones and said, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell where? At Jerusalem. What is Peter telling you? The people that have gathered around, they are all what? Jews. Men of Judea, dwellers at Jerusalem. You are all Jews. The wonderful works of God we are proclaiming, you are familiar. Whatever we are prophesying is based on the prophecy of the prophets. So it's not something that's strange to you. It is a manifestation that is strange to you. We spoke tongues. We interpreted what we were saying. And what we were saying has to do with the wonderful works God has wrought in the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, that already tells you, when men are prophesying, what will be their testimony? It will be the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. The testimony of Jesus. You are speaking by inspiration, and the inspiration came from the Spirit Jesus gave to you. And the Spirit Jesus gave to you will speak about what Christ has what? Done. That's the substance of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, see what it says again. Look at what it says. Be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. That's 9 a.m. in the morning. Yep. And that says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Next verse. It shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall speak with tongues. They shall speak with tongues. What did Joel say? What did Joel say? So, what does this mean? That was the question they asked. How did Peter explain? This is what Joel promised. Joel said, I will pour out spirit. And when you are power spirit, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So whatever they were doing by this time was not just tongues. It was tongues plus what? Interpretation, which is called prophecy. Peter began to use Joel's prophecy. Interestingly, as we go on, we'll see something very crucial. And that's the fact that Peter used Joel's prophecy in only about 3 verses. The next 5-6 verses, he used the Psalms of David, which were God's promise with respect to salvation, to show one thing. If you see us speaking in tongues, tongues is not what you should seek. It is the Spirit of God in Christ that you should receive. Let me say it again. Say, now we have received the Spirit of God. Because I have the Spirit of God, I can speak with tongues, I can interpret, I can prophesy. Speak with tongues, let me hear you. Stop. Why did you speak? Because you can. Can you start? Yes. Can you stop? Yes. Now, notice, what did Paul say? When you come together, a particular kind of meeting, you are coming deliberately. What is the aim of that meeting? You came to give to somebody else who will need to hear from God. Where will the person hear God? He will hear God through you. Can God speak through you? Emphatically, yes. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God. So, can you speak with God's Spirit or by God's Spirit? Yes. Can you choose not to? Yes. Why did God give you tongues? So it will help you to yield and to respond to God's Spirit. So that you can start on your own. What will it lead you to? To say the things God wants to say to whoever is sitting by you or whoever is within your vicinity so that they can be blessed. So God gave you something you can start at will so that the one you are not fully aware of can come to the surface through you and be a blessing to people. How many of you have ministered to people before and what you were saying, you didn't know what you were saying? Let me see here. What you were saying did not make sense to you, but it made sense to them. How many of you have been there for? Okay. So when they confirmed to you, how did you feel? Did you feel good or not? Were you glad you ministered to them or not? But were you tempted not to say those things? Does it happen to everybody? Guess what? You don't agree with it. It happens to every single person. So your love for people must outweigh your fear to miss it. Should I say that again? Your love for people must outweigh your fear to. You don't prophesy by looking at people's faces. Ah, sisters, I'm looking at you. It's like you have a problem. Because the person is frowning. The person may be hungry, may not be a problem. That means you cannot, you know people that they start looking at you, like, oh, can I say now? Ah, this cloth that's the person wearing. Okay. Ah, God is good. God will change your wardrobe. That's not prophecy. That's why you are meant to start with tongues. What does that mean? Let tongues lead you into what God wants to say. As you speak, your mind will be illuminated concerning what God wants to say. Never be afraid of the Spirit of God abiding within you. You didn't walk to have the Spirit. You have the Spirit as proof of God's work in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we have received. Say, I have received the Spirit of God. I know what to say by that same Spirit. How do I begin? The answer is, how did the early church begin? They all began. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So if the early church, including Apostle Peter, could start with tongues, I'm in good company when I start with tongues. So if I come to you and I say, you know what, let's stand one by one, let's go and minister one to another. How should you start? With tongues. I don't know what to say, that's why you should do tongues. Because to lead you into what? What to say. Now, can some people know what to say without doing tongues first? Yes. That means before they came, they were already edified. So when they stand before you, they can pick what to say, because but it didn't come just by standing before you. It came by having identified themselves before they came. Now, what tongues will build you up enough to know what to say when you are standing before people. Why? Every single one of us has the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit of God. I can minister the things of the Spirit. I can minister the things of the Spirit because I have the Spirit of God. All right, we're going to do a short demonstration now before we go home today. But we're introducing, because like I said, today, every single Sunday, we will have a companion teaching midweek services. By the 1st of July, we're going to come together. Remember, it is 6 hours. That means we have your time. We have time for you. We take it one by one. We may be going row by row. In Jesus' name, you will come. Because there are things God wants you to hear that you must hear. But there are things God wants to move you into that until you step into it, you won't have full liberty. And God wants you to have full liberty. That means there are things God will entrust to you that will be of benefit to others. If you don't speak, you are robbing them of the benefit, or you are not edifying someone. Say, I will edify someone today and every other day. The ability of God's Spirit is at work in me and through me in the name of Jesus. Again, notice, it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. The way Luke wrote the book of Acts, you need to understand the grammar, the construction, and the language. When he says, this is what Joel said, Peter is quoting Joel to explain what the Jews just experienced. And he says, this is what Joel said. That's what you are seeing. Some of you are asking, what meaneth this? I'm telling you, this is what Joel was trying to say. Joel said, I will pour out my spirit. Incidentally, Joel 2:23 says that, I will pour out my spirit, 2:28. He didn't say, I'll pour out of my spirit. It is Peter that interpreted what Joel was saying by adding the word of. And by adding that word, it gives a whole new meaning. The people who are prophesying, they already have God's spirit. So when the Bible says, I will pour out of my spirit, it's simply saying, the spirit of God is already where? Inside men. Then God will pour it out. How will God pour it out? Your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. So when I'm prophesying, what is God doing? God is pouring out spirit. Let me say it this way. Luke's explanation is this. When you are prophesying, it is called the activity of God, even though you are the one prophesying. But how are you prophesying? By the Spirit of God. Now says, when you are prophesying, it is God doing something. So let me ask a question. How many of us want God to do something this morning? So if God is going to, who will speak, God or you? It's actually both. It is because you are speaking that we're hearing what God wants to say. Now the question is, does God want to speak all the time to somebody beside you? Now again, what is the secret? Don't look at people's faces. Don't look at people's faces. When you look at people's faces, you will get into the flesh. You cannot tell what they need to hear by looking at their faces. Their faces can deceive you. Like I said, if you're looking at a sister which is frowning, so this has a problem. No, she may not have a problem. She may be hungry. She may not be hungry. She may not be younger. So, you know what you're doing? You are trying to, it's called spirit of suspicion. You are suspecting. Don't suspect. If you don't know what to say, do tongues. That's what you are meant to do. Why? You are drawing from a fountain. We things also we speak, not with what which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with what spirit. So, I draw from the fountain. I have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants always speak. He wants me to communicate, to bless someone. Edification is already inside me. It's hiding inside the tongues I'm yet to speak, and I've not spoken it. So what do? I start by speaking it. At least I know I can do tongues. What will tongues do? It will hand me over to interpretation, which will result in what? Prophecy. Prophecy is the one that will profit you. The tongues that I speak won't profit you. The interpretation, which will be prophecy, is one that will profit you. So I will labor and continue speaking until I can bring you an interpretation of what I've said, which is what will what edify you. It should not bother my head. At the time I'm speaking, whether you are getting it or not, I can come after the meeting. Hallelujah. Let me say another thing that you need to understand. Don't look at people's faces. You know, listen, I went for a meeting last year. Wow, why am I thinking it's last year? It's this year. So, and when you're operating with God that way, you have to learn to understand that. Just say what God asks you to say. Stop checking whether. And I said, in 7 days, you need money for our strength. God will provide us 7 days. The pastor of the church called me a week after and told me that he just paid his house rent 2 weeks before. So he wasn't believing God for house rent. So he said amen on behalf of his members. I'll be understanding. That's a good pastor, isn't it? So he said amen. He said, but you came on Thursday. On Sunday after the meeting, bad way to finish meeting. The owner of the house gave us quick notice. He said, at the duration of your rent, please pack out of my house. So when the prophecy was coming for, he didn't, it's not for me, it's for other people. I have paid. I thank my God. And then he said, wait. But the prophecy came out. And when it came out, I was in the house. I was comfortable. Now, at the end, you feel like this meeting is not ending in a good way. But then he remembered the word of prophecy. He said, then I did something. He said, when that news came on that Sunday, he said, exactly 7 days after, money for a new apartment came. Exactly 7 days after I came. In other words, you can give prophecy somebody who doesn't even know at that time that the word is for them. So, you see, if you are too concerned about your rep, you know what I mean by your rep? My rep. You will not speak for God. You will not prophesy. What's wrong? Which rep do you have? You will not speak for God. You're like, you know, it's like, my rep. Now come in first prophet. Join the club. You know what it means to lay hands on somebody and your eyes are closed and you're telling them that the child that you now have, you're like, ha, which child do you now have? And then the husband tells you afterwards, my wife has had 4 miscarriages. When you were speaking, we're trusting God for a child. We didn't know when you said the child you now have, and I said some things, that she was already pregnant. Stop, you see, stop using, your head is too small. Your head is too small to handle God. Yours is too small. Just agree. Your head is too small. What you sense to say, just what? Say it. Stop doing permutation and combination. Ah, she cannot be pregnant too. This one. Your problem is your head. What did you sense? And there's some revelation. That's just rob yourself of divine experiences. That's what you do. Captain was sharing with me some time back about a man and his wife that he invited to church. As they were stepping to church, they came for Holy Ghost in the first time. That was the first time and last time they came to church. He just invited them to come. I didn't know. As they were stepping in, I just pointed in their direction. And I spoke about the job he was looking for. And I spoke about the fact that the wife was trusting God for a baby. And the two of them, two things came to pass within 3 months. Now imagine, I'm just thinking, I don't even know them. Then you can calculate if it's a member of your church. At least I know you. You can really calculate that this one is okay. So this one, he has talked to me before, he's looking for a job. That's word from knowledge, not word of knowledge. But when the Spirit of God is asking you to speak to someone, and you don't know anything about them, or you can hear the Spirit of God, what should you do? Just speak. Then he will trust you with more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How do you do? How do you get there? Even when your mind doesn't know, do tongues. Stir up yourself. Then you have sola pratilegia. The strungro enia kakesti istru kuliata. Don't be too much in a hurry to conclude that the matter is over or it is finished. For there is one who is the author and the finisher. Let him tell you it is over, but he asked me to tell you it's just starting. That the work will be done, the funds will come, the interview will be conducted, you will be victorious. Now, I don't have to know who that is for. I just know somebody needs that right now. If I start thinking, there's somebody here that looks like an interview, who told you? The physical symptoms that are troubling you, they are troubling you in order that you may make a confession and say, God is not faithful. But remember, healing and health and wholeness is yours. So laugh every single time it comes. And after a while, the enemy will run away from you and all the symptoms will depart. And victory, your victory shall be evident for all to see. Glory to God. It doesn't have to be anything long. Just whatever you pick, only frestile katia, estrona fratile gear, enku ketila sita. Don't be too concerned about answering back at those who seem to be mocking you now. You are a work in progress. The work is not done yet, it's in progress. When the time comes, the works and the results will speak for themselves. And you will have had the last laugh because God will have vindicated you. And will have put you in a place where all can come to rejoice with you. Hallelujah. Prophecy is not difficult. You just learn to yield. You just learn to yield. Hallelujah. You just learn you cross the sifre di kalanga. And unsumruku ke sifre di kalatia. It happened on Tuesday. The dream came. It happened again Wednesday night. It came. And then it stopped coming. But yesterday night it happened again. And now you are afraid. Will that come to pass? No. Only what God has said will come to pass. For if he could, he would have finished you. But remember, you stand in the finished work of Christ. So give him praise and thank him. What he has given you, none can steal from you. None can steal from you. It is yours. The gift and the calling of God are without repentance. It is yours. It is yours to keep. It is yours to have. It is yours to hold. And it will abide with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And speak in tongues, Tom. Speak in tongues, Tom. Speak in tongues, Tom. Speak in tongues some now. Speak in tongues some now. Edify yourself a bit some now. Kenondro, kuge lista, frana katene, en kuguse vresta kita. Some of us need to stretch ourselves. Kubroste, fredika la kaste, nembrukos, tibra katine. Oh, Kamrasta Sisebra Kukustopra de Kadia, Enekumba, Beliko Gustavrasta, and Stroke Bala Gastia, Letugunu, Brother Kaki Gistis, Fresta Kite, Eko Plasto, Gustav Presti Kalaki Gishti, Eng, Gustav Rasta Gatia, Enunglo, Pakastiche Fresta Kile Gastia, Ekike Gibreki, Stekusu Suprocus de Fresti Giliga, Ah, Kudule Stefrestia, Ekustro. Enke, Brestike Liga Caste, Ella Kukusu Calabra Garcia. Oh, thank you. Belendo, Kudubla, Ketike, Sigoko, Bragata, Akate, Ikogulo, Pegeananka, Kesisotulo, Lofro, Stefretike Liga, Akatulo, Groste, Frite Liga Kite Liga, Anunkobo, Keste Frite Liga, Kokuta Labraste, Engrosto. Beliga, que los chicos la frasta quiste, and sucro caste fratica. Hallelujah. How many of us are presently in an impossible situation? Let me see your hand. You are in an impossible situation right now. Lift your hand properly. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You are in an impossible situation right now. Well, hear the word of the Lord. Impossible is nothing for him that sits on high. Impossible is not. In the twinkling of an eye, he will reconcile the difference. It will reconcile the difference. And what was a difference shall be a point of testimony for you. Yeah, before the month is over, you will have cause to laugh and to rejoice. And many will have reasons to congratulate you. The new season has come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look for somebody to edify around you now. Just look for someone to edify around you. Some words need to be spoken to one or two people around you. One or two or three people, look for them to edify. Look for someone to edify. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah, boldness is yours. Yeah, you went about it the wrong way. You are used to going about it the wrong way. You've gotten results that way for a long time. Now it's asking you to straighten up. He's asking you to straighten up. He's asking you to go about it his way. His way is best. His way is pure. His way is true. But his way is a way that will lead you into greater things. Things that will last, not things that will be stolen from you. He has asked you to go about it a different way, to follow a different path this season. Don't hesitate to follow him. Don't hesitate to yield to him. Don't hesitate to obey him. Yeah, this season, do it differently. Do it the way he asks you to do it. Do it the way he asks you to do it. Not cutting corners. Not going through the back. But following him all the way. Trusting him to lead and to guide. Trusting him that he will vindicate you. He will bring you out looking good. Looking great. Trust him. Trust him. He will bring you out looking good. He will bring you out looking great. He will bring you out with a testimony. Yes, you're used to doing the wrong way. But he has asked you not to do it the right way. And that he will come. He will bless. He will help. He will strengthen. And as he does so, you will find yourself in a different space, in a different time, with different results that you have ever had. Then you will know it pays to serve him. It pays to obey his voice. It pays to walk with him. He will bring you out. Oh, goodness dear. Elugundro kiki stifra stagata. Oh, graste sito gul. Ingreste la mandro kukukista prashta. Oh, paketi. Glen gruste. Kakugusto graste. Etele mungro. Oh, frasta kitelia. Enumbundro kiste. E kalama. Enkuto. Betchi breste kikiste. Lestruko kalabranchi kenia. Enka kalogrufusta frestike. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The pain in your back is leaving you right now. The pain in your back is leaving you right now. That pain that makes it difficult to walk, feel uncomfortable when you are walking, that pain is leaving you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The persistent disturbance in your tummy is leaving you right now. In the name of Jesus. Peace, be still. Peace be still. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. The hand of God is upon you for good. It's upon you for good. It's upon you for good. It's upon you for good. Glory to God. We have a few minutes, just one or two more minutes. Make sure you're a blessing to someone. You are God's oracle and his words are upon your lips. You are God's oracle and his words are upon your lips.
Is that the goodie? Yeah, man,
We worship him. Yes, we do, girl, and Benny. In the girl's name. Sulene Keshin. I see someone receiving the documents of a house. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We exalt you. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. Oh, for your mercies, for your loving kindness. Thank you. We exalt you. Thank you for times like this. Thank you for seasons like this. Thank you for days like this. Thank you because we're in tandem with your spirit. Oh, by your spirit, we cover the earth. Thank you. Ah, this sweet fragrance is spread everywhere. In this community and beyond, it just keeps spreading at an accelerating rate. It keeps spreading. Men are drawn to the fragrance of your glory, your resurrection. Your word is working stronger than ever before, influencing, changing lives continuously and consistently. And we give praise to you for all that you are doing. We exalt you. We're keen, we're sensitive to walk with you and to walk by your strength and by your energy and your ability this season. We do not draw back, but we follow through strongly. Strongly by your spirit, we follow through. We see more things done. We see many mighty testimonies. Oh, thank you for the room you have made for us in the land. We are grateful. For the place you have given us, we are grateful. For the resources that are accrued to us, we are thankful. Oh, we bless your name this morning. We exalt you. Blessed be your name, Father. Hallelujah.